Hi, this is Lisa.
And I'm Leanne, and this is After Alcohol. After Alcohol, we'll be taking a look at what it's like to live an alcohol-free life and breaking down the stigma surrounding this. We want to normalise the alcohol-free lifestyle and believe alternatives to our alcohol-centric society should be promoted and celebrated.
We're just two girls who grew tired of our own bullshit and decided to say a big goodbye to alcohol and all the crap that comes with it. We'll be sharing our story as well as others in the hope that we can give a glimpse into the wonderful world of being alcohol-free. Hello, Leanne.
Hello, Lisa.
How you doing?
I'm all right.
You're all right?
Yeah.
Hello, Herbert.
Now.
Oh, yes.
We'll get into that later. This is our last episode of season one. I think you said season two then. I'm fine. I don't get ahead of myself.
This has been a long season, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been a little fragmented.
Yes. Yeah, we fully acknowledge that. We're not trying to hide that we were like uber profesh.
Yeah. Well, we will be more profesh for season two, but we've had a few hiccups along the year. I mean, it's not been the best year, has it?
We've had a lot going on. Yeah. 2020. Wild.
So we'll do a recap of what we've been through.
Yes, Leanne has a big story to tell.
Yeah, what's been happening. And it's poignant that we're doing this today because it's November the 30th. And tonight is, for those of you who are interested in astrology, it is the lunar eclipse, and
it's Gemini full moon.
Yeah, that's the same thing, isn't it? Gemini full moon and then a lunar eclipse. Yeah. In it. Okay.
Yeah.
So basically this signifies like endings.
Yeah.
And then there's another we're probably gonna lose people here because like if you're not into astrology then this is
yeah
boring.
You'll be like whatever. Crazy.
Yeah, but so it's kind of like the culmination of lots of things that have been going on coming to an end. And then I think on December the 14th, then we've got the next few weeks is all about kind of goal setting and setting your intentions. And then 14th of December is a solar eclipse. And that's kind of signifies new beginnings. So it's really interesting that we didn't mean this to happen, but we're recording this the same
tonight.
Week. Yeah, tonight. On the same night that, yeah, lots of things are ending, including this season of After Alcohol.
And including our
little change of plans.
Yeah, our time in Melbourne.
Yes, so.
For the time being,
hopefully. This Friday, we're in the midst of like, we're recording this in Lisa's apartment because we're really profesh. With Herbert
drinking in the background.
He always does this when we start recording.
People, if we don't include him in things, this is what he does. Like, he has to make so much noise. Shit. He knows we're up to something.
I know. So anyway, we'll ignore that. But and it's kind of, most of it's packed up, isn't it, Lisa? Because
my furniture's getting picked up tomorrow.
Yeah. So we're heading up to Queensland on Friday. We have to drive because we're taking little piggy with us. But we're not mad about that because we want a holiday, so we're doing a few little stops along the way, which will be nice.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we're saying goodbye to Melbourne.
Saying goodbye, but hello to a lot of things.
Yes. Yeah, we're kind of letting go of everything, resetting, and the next chapter is kind of unknown, but...
Well, we know what we're doing.
Yeah, we know what we're doing, but... But it's kind of a surrender, and hopefully we'll just see what happens next year. Hopefully it'll be a better year. But
Rise Revolution's not going anywhere.
No, we're still here, doing stuff, putting stuff out there for our community.
We'll come back with the podcast.
Yeah, in the new year, and then we're working on a little summon behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Which will all be revealed soon.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of linked to why we're moving, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're calling this episode Endings and New Beginnings.
Yeah.
Because everything has to end. We all know that.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we don't want it to at some times.
Everything does.
Everything ends, but that also means a new beginning, new chapter.
Absolutely.
And I think if you can think of things like that, then you're onto something, you know? It yeah. builds that resilience. It's kind of seeing opportunity in the shit, which mm-hmm. we've had to learn to do this year, haven't we?
Yes. So... which is a nice segue into part of, I guess, explaining why sometimes this podcast goes a few weeks without having anything.
Yeah.
And kind of what's driving all of these changes. Has yes. driven. Sorry, no, it was a catalyst. It has nothing to do
yeah,
with it.
Yeah.
You've made these choices yourself.
Exactly. Like we have made all of these decisions. At times it's kind of felt like, why is this all happening to me? But that's victim mentality. And I'm not perfect, but I'm definitely moving away from that and taking control of my life, and starting new things and whatnot. So I'll start from the beginning.
Yeah.
So, yeah, okay. So we did do an episode a few months ago. Lisa talked about coming out of, what was it? It was called Breaking Up Without Booze.
Yeah.
And it was about Lisa's breakup and getting away from an abusive relationship. But what we didn't really delve into, and I've kind of been keeping quiet on, is that I... actually got out of a toxic,
it was abusive,
emotionally abusive relationship around the same time. And this was weird, like it was within a few weeks, wasn't it?
Was it two, 3 weeks? You came here to stay, remember? I picked you up the weekend I moved into this apartment.
Mm-hmm.
So that was 2 weeks.
Yeah, so there's 2 weeks. So and we just could not get over it. It was just crazy that it happened to us at the same time.
Yeah.
And it really kind of made us realize that we had, the stars had aligned for us to meet. It was last year.
Anyway, yeah.
So we had met, obviously found each other, both sober women in Melbourne, and we're like overjoyed to have found another sober buddy. But we just felt like that. It was for other reasons as well that we'd come together. And it was to help each other through the shit times.
Yeah.
And Lisa was my guardian angel.
Well, you've been mine too.
Yeah, I know, but I think you're better at...
No, I'm not.
Use yours.
Leanne always does this, you guys. She always like, negs yourself almost.
Well, the thing is, I was trying to obviously be there for Lisa, and then shit hit the fan for me.
Yeah.
And then it just ended up with us both crying and just, you know, like in the trenches together.
Yeah.
So it had been, a long time coming. I've had a bit of it has been a bit of a shitter of a year in general for me. Like this time last year, I lost my stepdad, had to go back to the UK. For quite a while it was really stressful. I had to support my mum and help with lots of financial and business kind of things, and something that I was just thrown into, and I had a really, really tough time. Had a little mini breakdown when I was there,
understandably.
It's like a little bit stressed.
Managed to stay sober.
And then headed back in the new year. Unfortunately, my partner at the time used it against me that I went back, and apparently I wasn't speaking to him enough. Like, you know, I had a lot of shit going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that was one thing. There was lots of little red flags that kind of popped up over the over the few years. It was control. Mm-hmm. I felt very submissive, like I was just naturally the submissive one in the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It was his way or the highway a lot of the time. He was quite aggressive, like didn't physically hurt me or anything, but it was like I found myself tempering what I was saying because I just didn't want to deal with the angry reaction.
And walking on eggshells?
Yeah, completely walking on eggshells, like quite fearful. And
in your own home?
Yeah, and just apologized constantly, like I'll never, yeah, I'll always know not to, if I'm starting to apologize all the time, I'll run, red flag. Yeah, so it was kind of just a combination of things that happened, and I just completely started abandoning myself. I just was becoming a shell of a person, really.
Mm.
But at the same time, I was getting berated for suffering from poor mental health, and I wasn't doing enough to look after myself, and I was self-destructive, and I was basically, I was being told constantly that I was fucked up and I was unstable and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, like, I think ultimately he was like projecting onto me, like he had his issues and really bad mummy issues. And, but kind of focused on me to distract from it. So I did end up thinking I was a piece of shit and that I was, oh God, I am. I'm so messed up. Like I am mentally unstable. And, yeah, how's anyone going to love me? And I just completely lost myself. This isn't the first time this has happened as well in a relationship. I did feel like there's been a pattern of me losing myself in a relationship. And like, since I've talked to my therapist about this, and she said that that is common. Like if you are in a kind of an emotionally abusive or toxic situation, you do almost shut down your identity. Mm. You do kind of lose the connection with that. You kept asking, who am I? Like, what do I want to do with my life? And I think I was just reaching outside of myself because I was so miserable. And there were so many times that I'll never, ever not listen to my intuition again, because I knew it. Every part of me was telling me, this is not right.
How? Tell people how. Like, what was the feeling?
The feeling was like a restriction in my chest and also in my stomach, like a tightening. So it was a physical reaction. I used to have to like go into another room. Like if he had a tantrum, which he often did, about something, and it could be something minor, and then all of a sudden I was getting that kind of fearful, like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I'd just go into the other room and I'd just like, I hate it. I just need to get out. It was like a little voice as well. So it was a physical reaction. There was a little voice inside of me saying, get out.
Yeah, because that's what I used to do too with my ex-boyfriend.
Yeah.
Because he'd be a dickhead and I'd stand behind the wall and just be like, I hate you. You
couldn't do it to them because the reaction would be too horrific.
Would be, yeah.
Yeah. And I was too scared to react all the time, you know, and say like no, because I didn't know what would happen. The thing is, it's like, I used to say this to him all the time, like if I treated you and spoke to you the way you spoke to me, like I don't know what would happen, like all hell would break loose. I just did not listen to myself. I think a big part of that was the fact that bloody society tells you you have to be in a relationship, especially if you're a woman in her 30s.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just desperate for it to work because, well, I think I've also dealt two attachment types, and I have like a very, what's it called, anxious, insecure. So I'm very, you know, I react by being quite clingy, which is not a good thing. And I can see why, like, push people away. But
Hey, but hang on, you react like that when your needs are not being met.
Yes, exactly. Like if I'm in a healthy relationship, I don't act like that. But when you're kind of, the other person's like withholding stuff and like
silent treatment.
Yeah. Well, oh yeah, exactly. Like
getting angry over nothing, like their mood.
Yeah.
Set the tone for your experience in the house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it all actually, yeah, there was times when it's really interesting. Like, and I kind of feel bad talking about this, but I kind of got that feeling when I was growing up in my house. Like my stepdad was he was very dominating. You know, obviously I loved him dearly, but like it was a little bit, you know, fearful. But then at the same time, desperate for him to like show he loved me, and like, yeah, I just wanted to make him proud and all that kind of stuff. And so that's exactly what I've been playing out in my adult relationships. So I just, yeah, I stayed in it because
you don't need to justify that to anybody.
No, I know.
Like,
you were
being gaslit in your own relationship about your mental health.
Well, yeah, because I did think I was broken. Yeah. Like I was told that I was broken. And I thought, God, well, if I'm not in this relationship, then I'll never get anybody to love me. I'm just unlovable because I'm so fucked up. And I'm not saying that, I definitely, a lot of the time I wasn't taking care of my mental health. I wasn't doing all I could. I was being quite self-destructive, but not as much as I was when I was drinking. Like I was taking steps to, you know, look after myself and start to love myself and become more aware. And I was doing the work. I was just early on in my journey, so I still had quite a bit of a way to go. But yeah, it was a shit. It was a shit situation.
Yeah.
And yeah, even up until the end, I was so desperate to make it work. I think of myself now, and I tried to think of myself with kindness, of that girl that was like just desperately wanting to be loved. But yeah, being gaslit, silenced, dealing with tantrums, and then also being caught up in like his family dynamics. Like I said, he had mummy issues, and I think he thought, I don't know, he kind of treated me like her. Like he did say, he's like, you remind me of my mum. And I'm like, that's where the anger his eyes comes from when he looks at me. He would look at me sometimes and just, I'd be like crying because he'd said something, like devastated. In fact I used to go and lock myself in the bathroom at night when he was asleep. Well, actually he wasn't asleep, he was awake. He knew I was crying my eyes out in the bathroom, but just did not give a shit. It was cruel. And I'm like, why are you like this to me? And he'd just be like, just shut up. Like at those times, like I thought, he truly hates me. Like I'm living with someone who hates me. Anyway, ultimately it ended with I was done with the silent treatment. There was a few times I reacted and I got angry with him, but I actually, he's told me that I was abusive because I was angry at him. Like there was a few times where I just blew. Like I said, I cannot be told that I'm broken anymore. I cannot be told how I should be living my life and what therapy to get and all this kind of stuff. And so I'd lose it. Like I was never physical or anything, but I would scream because it's just overwhelming when you're bottling all of that up every day and trying to, like, walking on eggshells with someone, it just comes out somehow. But he used that against me, you know. He said I had anger issues and things like that, which is hilarious because that was probably a handful of times that I reacted that way, but his was daily. I couldn't deal with the silent treatment anymore. He wasn't doing anything about it, so I was like, oh, I'm gonna go away. So I stayed away for a little bit. That was just after you broke up with your ex, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So I spent a huge amount of money on Airbnbs to give him space to work out things, and his mum was over, and so they were trying to work it out and going to therapy together and stuff. Might I add, like, he refused to ever go to therapy with me. Like, I tried everything. I was like, maybe we can go and see a couples counsellor. And ugh, I'm so needy.
No, like, you weren't.
I know. I have to be nice to old Liam.
Yes.
Anyway, so after a month of giving him his space and him repeatedly telling me to stay away longer, I was like, okay, whatever you need, it's fine. He came to see me and in 5 minutes basically told me I'd ruined his life, and to get out. I was basically evicted from my life. So, yeah, I was... in the space of a couple of days, I was told I had 3 days to get all of my belongings out. I lost my dog. He wouldn't let me see her, like, took her away from me. There was no question that I had to leave the house that I'd, like, lovingly
made a home.
It felt like being put out like trash.
I very much relate to that.
Yeah. And the last time I saw him, I was obviously, like, devastated and tears and everything. And he was just aggressive, his usual aggressive self. And then that was that.
Yeah.
So I packed up my things and went. And it was a dark time. I would say, because funny you talk about rock bottom in sobriety, and I kind of had my own version of a rock bottom, but not really. It was like a high bottom, you know. I didn't lose anything. I would say that was my rock bottom. The cat. I'll get to the cat story in a minute. That was my rock bottom. But I had a breakdown. Like, I was suicidal. Like,
yeah, in a bad way.
I was really quite scared. I'd never really experienced that before, where I didn't trust my own brain. And I remember ringing the doctors in tears, like, having a panic attack. Like, I need something. I need some tablets or something, because I'm worried that my brain's going to literally make me kill myself, because it's just these horrible thoughts. And it was just, I couldn't even get into bed. Like, I was either asleep on the floor in the house that I was renting, the Airbnb that I still was, or, yeah, on the sofa, just kind of half in between being awake and being asleep. And so, like, that whole time then, that was the lowest point of my life, definitely. It was just a crumbling. I lost everything, including my mind.
Like, I get that, but it probably didn't help that at the same time what I was learning so much about, like, what I'd been through and unpacking, like, this is an abusive relationship. This is what made it abusive. And there were similarities between our story, which, and for anyone who, like, thinks that it will never happen to them, like, we are both women who probably thought it would never happen to us either. And so to learn you have been in an abusive relationship is like being punched in the gut.
Yeah,
like, it takes the wind out of you and you are just like, what has happened? Yeah. And you question everything.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there was that going on. You had literally been kicked out of your house for and kept on a tether, like, there was toying with your emotions. So there,
and no family. Like, I didn't have, I literally had Lisa was my family. So my immediate reaction was like, I need to go home, but there was no flights because we were just going back into lockdown. So it was a bit of a shit time for it all to happen. But the whole thing with, you know, like, learning the whole, like, all the, what's, house of cards, like, falling down, all the realization after realization of, like, oh my God, the way he was acting towards me, like, treating me, that's not okay. And I was making excuses in my head for him for a very long time. And even, like, I sometimes still do. Oh, but really, was it that bad? But like after, you know, hours of therapy, lots of books, talking to other people about it. And yeah, all of these things are kind of ways that men can subtly control you or manipulate you or abuse you. Like it doesn't have to be it doesn't have to be hitting. And in fact, I mean, it's terrible, but when you've been through some sort of like emotional abuse, it's like a fucking trauma.
Yeah,
it is that you lose trust in yourself. And but you know, like I also for a very long time after, I was like thinking that it was I was abusive. I was googling.
You were.
I thought you I was a narcissist.
Yes, you did, because he gaslit you.
Because he told me I was abusive because yes. I got angry a few times.
Yes. Anyway, here's a piece of shit.
And women are allowed to be angry, and that's definitely what, like, oh, well, me and you have been really angry today because of the lunar eclipse.
But also because men are shit.
I know. Well, can I just say that me and you have had slightly different reactions to it. Like, I have been thinking that, but I've been trying to temper myself for the last few months because I was like, I don't want to be a man hater. Because I want to judge someone on their who they are as a human being. You know, are they a dickhead? Are they not a dickhead? Like, are they respectful? So trying to kind of keep that, I don't know, like temper myself. But, and that's also why I haven't really talked about it, because I kind of was like, oh no, I have to be the good girl. I can't tell anyone that like this is what's happened to me, because people just think I'm a bitter woman or I'm just, you know, not dealing with the breakup very well. And but it just goes back to the whole, you know, women not having a voice. And I haven't had a voice for a long time, and I've been treated quite badly by a lot of men actually throughout my life, and fuck them. So that's what the okay, so Herbert just snorted and farted at the same time. That was his reaction to it.
Yeah, he knows all about it.
Yeah.
He's been a therapy dog.
He has. So, yeah, it's like that, using your voice. I don't give a shit anymore if people think that I'm bitter. I know I'm not. Like, I know that I'm in a good place.
Yeah.
Now.
No.
And actually, I'm in a way better place than I was before.
Yeah. what's the difference? Care. Like, in two words, what was before and what's now?
Can I use three words?
Yeah.
Self-hatred and before.
Relationship. In the relationship.
In the relationship. And actually before the relationship. Yeah. Because before the relationship, I was having an abusive relationship with alcohol.
Yeah.
So afterwards, just pure like love and trust for myself. Mm. I can't describe it. I am a totally different person.
Yeah, you are.
To the girl at the beginning of the year. Like, I cannot believe, like, this has actually been the best year of my life.
I know. Well, to give you an indication of the difference, there was one night when she came over here just like a few days after the breakup, and she couldn't eat or anything, and she was sitting at my bench just her head down, like so sad, like the saddest person ever.
It was all haze as well. Yeah. Like, I can only, from that first week, I can only really remember like bits of it.
And to now.
Yeah, I'm just feeling great. Like, yeah. all areas of my life, yeah. I'm feeling comfortable in my skin. I feel like I'm finding my voice. There's certain things I do now every day that is like almost like devotion practice to myself.
What is it?
Oh, well, so I have a little routine in the morning. I get up and we've been walking a lot. We go for a long walk for an hour in the morning. Then I meditate and I have my little alter.
Some people are going like, nee, nee.
Yeah.
But I suppose part of this year has been like a bit of a spiritual awakening for me.
100%.
Yeah. So I will spend that time meditating, maybe light a candle or some incense, and then I pull my card, my oracle card for the day, and then I'll do a bit of yoga. I know this sounds like a lot, but it doesn't actually take that long. And then I'll meditate before I go to bed as well. So, and then, like, you know, therapy, exercise, like finally addressing like all my issues with food, like just addressing all of my issues. And really, yeah, it's just being honest with myself.
Yeah.
I've just, shit's got real this year. And I'm like, no, done.
Yeah.
But should I just quickly go back to the cat story? Yeah,
yeah, the rock bottom.
And then we'll move on.
Yeah.
Okay, so my rock bottom, I was, yeah, basically kind of half lying on the floor, half lying on the sofa. I hadn't showered. I couldn't do anything. Hadn't eaten. Wasn't sleeping. So it was like 3 a.m. and I was in this Airbnb and there was a cat scratching at the door. I think it was the next door neighbor. This cat had come in a few times. Trixie, evil cat. So I let her in thinking, oh, you know, animals are really soothing when you go through bad times.
She'll cuddle you.
She'll cuddle me. So I let her in and then kind of just went slumped back on the sofa. And then all of a sudden she jumped on my head and bit it. And I just went,
oh my God, I hate my life. This was the day before she came over and was sitting at the bench in like completely like disheveled sad mess.
I know. Why did the cat butt hit me when I was down? Oh, like, no.
I reckon she needed to be your rock bottom versus,
yeah,
fuckhead. Yeah, exactly. Being the rock bottom.
And it gave us a laugh, didn't it?
It made me laugh so much when you told me. Like,
and we went back and visited her the other week because I went back to where I'd been staying. And yeah, she seemed okay, but she's a little bitch.
Oh.
No, she's sneaky.
And
we'll set her up on it.
Can we also say that you got the Kardashians helped you through?
Oh, yes.
I introduced her to the Kardashians.
It's a perfect mic because obviously, like, when you go through really tough times like this, normally you'd reach for a bottle of vodka to numb yourself out.
100%.
So I numbed myself out with the Kardashians. It was the perfect thing. So yeah, I binge watched 18 seasons in a few weeks. It was great.
And look, we know that the Kardashians are problematic in their own right, like with some of the things they promote, their internalized misogyny, their love addictions. Like, we could go on and on and on.
But that made me feel better about
my
life.
Yeah, but we fucking love them. because it showed them going through the same shit.
Exactly. It does not matter who you are. Everyone's affected by heartbreak.
Yeah.
Everyone can be affected by anxiety, depression, you know, any kind of mental illness. Yeah. Like, it doesn't matter how much money you've got.
Shit happens.
What your name is shit happens. And it is all about the biggest thing to take away from this year has been when you come up against shit, which everyone will, because that's life, it's full of ups and downs, always find the lesson in it. Like, there is always something. And that's the spiritual side that's kind of come through for me this year. Like, I can now see very clearly why all of this happened to me this year. Why?
Yeah. Why do you think it happened?
I think it was so that I did kind of wake up and start caring about myself.
Yeah.
You have to be shook to your core. The dog's, he's so sweet.
He loves you so much.
Yes, you need something that shakes you to your core. That is the universe's way to wake you up and give a shit about yourself.
Yeah.
That's it.
And to say, it's like, stop, right?
Yeah.
Like, just stop.
Once you care about yourself and start on that journey of self-love, like, literally everything else will fall into place.
Mm.
Because you will automatically, I mean, we feel this, don't we? We have got this armor now
that is going to, when we go into another relationship, if we decide we want to, maybe not, it means that we can pick up signals, red flags, you know, because we're going to give a shit about ourselves enough to get out of there quickly.
Yeah.
And also it's completely changed my attitude and perspective on things, so that I actually don't need anybody else other than myself. Mm-hmm. I don't need anyone else. Like, I'm even looking into, I'm going to get like my eggs frozen. I'm looking into being a single mum, like on my own, because that's something I've always wanted. And obviously if you're in your 30s and, you know, you're not in a relationship, like there's alternatives. And so it's just completely flipped everything I thought I knew about life and myself on its head. And I just letting go of all those stories, surrendering to whatever will be.
Mm-hmm.
So great year.
Yeah.
Which is a weird thing to say, but it really has been
for me as well.
Yeah.
Like
transformative.
So transformative. Like, just like, yeah, that core shaking. But also, like, look, this is going to sound, I know I'm privileged in saying this. I have a job, I have a roof over my head, and, you know, I've been fortunate enough to have money coming in throughout the pandemic. But for me, the pandemic was such a beautiful time to just be able to be quiet and heal and not have to, like, focus so much on doing things and, like, you know, being busy. It was like, slow down, rest and recover and work out what's important to you.
Yeah.
And so I really do think, like, that lockdown that we had here, as shit as it was, it was 100% necessary. Mm. Well, for me in particular, and for you, I think. And yeah, like,
it forced us to go in on ourselves and start all of this huge, like, unraveling of everything.
Absolutely. Right? And it's like, I don't know about you. Well, it's helped with Rise Revolution. Like,
we've kind of changed we haven't changed our values, but we definitely,
we know what we stand for.
Yes. Yes. And it's, I think going through this transformation has really given us this, like, fire in our belly to help others, like, and be of service to women.
Absolutely. And to create a community of women who can help each other.
Yeah. I mean, that is the underlying thing. Like, women are their own. We have all the wisdom we need within us, and that sharing of life experience, I mean, that's what got us through it. Like, giving each other life advice, like, that is,
and just, like, truly so powerful. I think, like,
you don't need a bloody guru or spiritual leader to do it. Absolutely. Just talk to your friends, like, they can give you the best support and wisdom that you could ask for.
And just, being in a safe space. Mm. Like, for me, this year has firmly cemented that friendships are more important to me than relationships, because they offer so much more richness and support and, like, value.
Yeah.
And that's not for everyone. That's for me personally. That's what I found.
I've found that, you know, if I compare my friendships to relationships, I've just been, I can only describe my friendships as, like, they're nourishing.
Yes.
Like, I get all my nourishment from my friends. Like,
absolutely.
And I know I'll be okay if I wasn't in a romantic relationship for the rest of my life, to be quite honest. If I've got a good friendship group around me and support network, and, you know, like, whatever comes along. But I am so grateful for you.
For you too.
And all my other friends.
We have literally spent every day for the past 8 months together. Do you know that? We have seen each other every day. And multiple times a day.
I know.
And yeah.
Yeah.
Bloody hell. Yeah. And like,
we've got each other through it, haven't we?
I know. It's been magical, really.
Yeah.
And weird. Like, that's the thing. We just are so
serendipity.
Yeah, that this happened and we know it was for a bigger reason.
Yeah, we've just been set on a path, I think. Yeah. It's like a realignment or something. But I mean, it's sad because, oh yeah, like another thing, obviously, like this year, like I said, I've lost a lot of things. It started with losing my step-parent and then losing my partner, my home, my dog, and the country I live in, because I have to
leave.
I'm leaving. I'm heading back to Europe via South Africa to see stay with my family there. Because I'm sorry, but England, just wait, holding off. That sounds really bad. Like, oh god, you know, too good. It's just I don't feel like it's been taken seriously at the moment, and it scares me. So yeah, it's all about, like, there's an element of sacrifice when you say goodbye to things, but you know, there's something that we both feel like we're doing the right thing, don't we, leaving. And there's a part of me that I feel like I probably will end up back in Australia. It's just not
yes,
right.
Yes, you will.
Yeah, we're gonna get an amazing house on the Gold Coast, aren't we?
Yeah,
but it's just not right for me at the moment. I think after everything's gone, and yeah, it's not possible for me to stay here anymore for the time being. I am worried because I'm going to be going back and locking myself into Europe. I don't know. I don't know when the borders will open again here. But we'll see. I know. So this is it, like all of these endings, but also all of these new beginnings. And it's kind of every time we feel like, I mean, you've wobbled a few times as well, haven't you? But like, I get so sad. Like when I'm walking around Melbourne, I'm like, but I just keep remembering like how exciting things can be. You know, I just have, it's having that faith that everything will be okay.
Everything will be okay. Well, you couldn't stay here.
Yeah, I couldn't stay.
Unfortunately, as much as I would like you to.
The stars hadn't aligned for me to stay here. Like I've had issues with staying in Australia over the years. Like, but so I'm taking that as a sign.
Yep. And then
I love it.
You'll be back.
I'll leave a little piece of my heart here and I'll come and collect it soon.
Yes. but that's been your year in a nutshell.
Yeah, that was a big nutshell, sorry. But you know, you've got to get it all out. That's good.
Well, we made it our mission to like talk about our experiences in our relationships to help other women know when things may not be quite right, right? To help them to know you'll be okay if you leave.
Yeah. You will be okay. Because we have got certain, women have so much strength within them. Like, it's honestly, you might not think that you can. I'm sorry, I've got chocolate in my mouth. I'm trying to say something profound and I'm eating chocolate. Haven't kicked that habit yet. I don't want to. I think not enough women trust in themselves. They just don't know how much power they have within them and how much they're worth.
Yeah.
And I do see it a lot. Especially with relationships staying because you don't see an alternative.
Settling for a loser.
Mm.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we've been told that we have to, you know, grow up and get married and have children and live that lifestyle. And thanks, Disney films.
Mm.
They've just, you know, and the man is the prize.
Mm. We're the prizes.
We're the prize. Ourselves. Like, I don't know.
It's, yeah.
Yeah, that's what we kind of really want to see, don't we?
Yeah, and just to know that you're not alone. Like, mm-hmm. it would literally be so much more common than you would know. Like, if you are experiencing a toxic relationship or, you know, emotional or physical abuse, like, there are other women, unfortunately, that are in the same position as you.
Like, we never told each other, did we?
Well, we never told anyone.
No, I didn't tell anyone. Yeah. In fact, everyone was like, oh, I didn't realise that you were going through that. I was like, yeah,
because that's a red flag, babes. If you are not talking about your relationship or you can't be truthful with your friends about what is going on, there may be some bigger questions you need to ask yourself about, like, why that is and what you're, who, potentially who you're protecting.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe even if you deserve better. And the answer to that question is always yes, by the way.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. So there's, like, lots of lessons to be learned. Yeah. But like we've said, just because we're leaving Melbourne and Leanne will be away, it does not mean the end of Rise Revolution. We are... You know,
yeah, we've got the internet for a reason.
We've got the internet. We're going to be around. We still believe in everything we have to say. In fact, probably even more now.
Yeah.
And we'll continue with our women's circles. We're going to have community chats.
Yeah. We're going to do something for Christmas, aren't we?
Yeah.
We'll put something in the diary.
And
it's just, I've forgotten what I was going to say now, Carol.
Well, there's just lots that's going to be happening with Rise Revolution. And we're just, I guess we're here to help guide you to probably the place where we are, right? Like, we are only going to share from our experiences and the things we really believe in.
Yeah. And I think definitely something that we've realized this year, in fact, the past few years really, of both of our sobrieties, is that the it gets really difficult sustaining it when you're not prepared for all of the highs and lows that are going to come along. And I genuinely thought when I quit drinking that everything would be fine. I'm going to have this fairy tale life because I've just got rid of the one thing that was holding me back. Like, the alcohol was the root of all my issues.
Yeah.
I actually now, like, I mean, it's not good because...
Well, alcohol was almost the output of your issues.
Yes, yeah. So I thought that, yeah, I would be perfect after that. And what actually, my life essentially fell apart after I stopped drinking.
Yeah.
But that's not a bad thing.
No.
Because it means that all of the shit surrounding you falls away, and it is really difficult, and it is hard to come up against crappy life experiences when you are sober because you don't have that crutch to lean on. But Herbert, come on. But yeah, it's the real work is getting to the reason why you drink, why you were drinking alcohol in the first place. And it's only when you actually start to do that that I think sobriety becomes effortless, completely effortless. I just would never ever feel like I'd crave a drink now, because I've now, after all of my life kind of fell apart after I stopped drinking and I was thrown thing after thing, that's when I really started, like, doing the work. I stopped white knuckling, I started going to therapy. I started exploring exactly why I was drinking. Because, yeah, drink is just the thing that covers it up, yeah. really, isn't it? And that, this is why I think it's, like I've said it before, the perfect storm. So that's, I'd say that's my experience. Like, I had all of these issues that I was, I had to cover up. I had to numb out to these bad feelings that yeah. were caused by trauma and things that happened to me in my past that I wasn't addressing. What I was doing is I was using something that is so readily available to everybody and told, you're told that it's okay, this will drink the pain away.
And also it is normalizing
like
your behavior.
Yes. So there's this thing which is readily available in society, and it's, you're told that it can be basic, it's basically a medication to numb out the pain. And added on top of that is it's actually an addictive substance. Mm. So you start drinking to numb the feelings.
Yeah.
And then you slowly become addicted to it because you realize that it, that just becomes the norm.
Yeah.
Over again. I haven't explained that very well.
Did I?
Yeah. Okay. So it's quite understandable actually that my life fell apart after I stopped drinking, because I had to fucking deal with everything. I had to deal with all the shit.
Yeah.
I
agree. Like, in a way, my Herbert's just got his toy, so he'll start being noisy again. Sorry. After I got sober, I went through so many experiences that made me question everything again and again and again. And like you, I don't believe it's a bad thing, because it kind of builds that resilience, but it also continues to build that self-love, that trust in yourself, and the, I guess, belief in yourself as well, that no matter what happens, you can get through it.
Mm.
And that's just what has happened over and over again. And like you, it's not nice to go through all this shitty stuff, but shit happens, and it's going to happen throughout your life. And the more you deal with it head on, the better you just become. Like, the refractory period of the shit gets less and less and less.
I think, what's he doing?
I don't know. Yes,
strange dog. What I think really, it's going, and it's, this has been our experience, it's going from substance sobriety to emotional sobriety.
Yeah.
And that is when you really do gain true freedom.
Mm.
And it won't be the same for everybody, but like, me and you can just be in any situations now and go to any bar, be like, literally I can be surrounded by alcohol and I have no desire.
No.
Because I don't want to escape from myself anymore. I bloody love myself.
Yeah.
I don't want to lose that connection.
Yeah.
And I just feel very comfortable. It's being comfortable in your own skin.
Yeah. So
yeah. But it's a long old winding road.
And it's and it looks
not a quick fix.
No.
Like the, you know, the instant. It's definitely the first step. Like, it's the for me, it was the first step on a long
stopping
road.
Drinking.
Stopping drinking.
Oh, 100%.
Just that like decision I made, absolute decision to say, I am not drinking ever again. And that was the first kind of little thing that I had to do, and then it all kind of tumbled from there. And I just think there's a reason why everything got thrown at us in our first
few years.
Yeah. I remember, I think my dad said this to me, he was just like, bloody hell, girl, you're never gonna drink again. Like, you've literally, I dealt with, the first year was like, had weddings, funerals, you know, going through grief, losing my job, like going traveling, all this stuff, everything came in that first year.
Yeah.
And I do truly believe things were thrown at me to just really cement it.
Mm-hmm.
So
me too.
You know, I'm getting more woo-woo now.
No, you're not. We love it, by the
I know
way.
And I'm gonna do, we're after this, we're doing a little ritual, aren't we?
Yes, our full moon ritual.
I'm really worried about us leaving our little sanctuaries because we have created these lovely little nests for ourselves.
We live alone, both of us, but like literally just a kilometer from each other.
Yeah.
And yeah, so we're both leaving our apartments and going to my family's house, which
with
is
your mum and nana.
My mum and nana, my sister lives around the corner with her three kids who are always over. There's dogs galore. It's just going to be chaos. So this will be a test for us as well.
I can't wait. And then I'm going on after that to stay with my auntie and my dad's side of my family in Cape Town. And I mean, that's just always a bit of a madhouse. There's dogs and cats everywhere. And I was thinking, where am I going to hide my altar? You know, all my little crystals and stuff. And I was like, I'm going to get a shoebox. I'm going to have like my little secret spiritual shoebox and hide it in the wardrobe. And then just, yeah, try and have me time. But yeah, so I'm really, you know, making the most of it.
I'm not worried about hiding my altar at my mum's house.
No, because I think my auntie's maid is going to, which makes me sound really privileged. Sorry. Good. Yeah, I don't know. It's like I'm kind of in the spiritual closet. Like I literally will be in the spiritual closet. I'm working my way up to like telling everybody that I've had a spiritual awakening. I'll get there.
Yeah.
Anyway, I feel like we've talked
a while. Yeah.
How long have we been talking?
I don't even know.
Who knows? Who cares?
If you're still listening, good on you.
We appreciate you.
what do you think is your biggest lesson before we sign off this?
Okay. Well, my biggest lesson, I mean, I suppose I talked about self-love, but actually it is now. And something I'm taking to New Year is like surrender.
Mm.
I keep getting that message coming through a lot. Surrender, let go with the flow. Not really making any plans. I'm just going to literally see where life takes me from now on. Because I was always a forward planner. Because nothing's certain. And I always thought it was. Unfortunately, always thought it was, especially relationships. If I thought at the beginning of this year that everything that's happened was going to happen, then so surrender.
Beautiful.
It's really nice and relaxing. Really feels good. What about you?
I think I'm this is more woo-woo, that I'm here to help people.
You're of service.
Because it makes me happy. Really happy.
Lights you up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also like that I am feisty. Feistier than I thought. I'd say that's my biggest lesson.
You really are feisty. I love it. You can do all the complaining for us when we're on.
Oh, I love it. I love yelling at people, or not like in a bad. I yell at people who deserve it. Don't I
feel like you're bringing it out of me, or teasing it out of me a bit, though.
Like getting more feisty.
Yeah, I feel like I'm going to be a bit more feisty. Well, I've definitely been a bit more angry since last week. Like, a couple of weeks about the whole situation with a certain person. So, yeah. And it's not bad. It's not a bad thing to be angry.
No, we're allowed to be.
Yeah. All right. All right. We will be back in the new year.
We're
going to have some new guests, and we are also going to be focusing a lot more on our community. We really, really want to share other women's stories because, like we said, that really is so valuable. That sharing of wisdom and lived experience. We're gonna be bringing community members, and we'll still get some good experts when we're talking about kind of all the things that could affect you in sobriety
and life
And life, yeah, exactly. Not just about sobriety, you know, like
yeah.
things you can do that will help you, that, you know, rise up to be the best version of yourself.
Well, have a wonderful Christmas.
Yes.
And we will see you in the new year, 2021.
Let's hope it's a better year. Yes. Well, for the whole world.
Yeah.
Like I really am hoping that everyone's life gets a little easier next year and we do get reprieve, and our hearts go out to everybody who has had a really difficult year. You're in our thoughts.
Thanks, guys.
All right, signing off.